And others are going to be like, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Some are going to be, you'd be bothered by this, and others, it's just no big deal. So here's what the word is. You ready? There it is.
Well,
yeah, see what I mean? So look, there's a whole lot of pointing going on here. There's a lot of finger pointing going on. So I already know now the answer to my first question. What does this word mean? What does it mean? It means. So it means a lot of things, doesn't it? Can you imagine? Can you imagine trying to learn the English language? Just a word like this. It would just be impossible to try to learn English, I think, because of words like this. It really does mean so many things. Let's put it in some expressions here, and I think it'll probably cover most of what we think of. All right, so first, we can say, what do you mean? And what does that mean? This is asking about an opinion. It's like, what is your opinion about something? When you say that, what do you mean? Or what is the opinion you're trying to express? What are you trying to convey to me? So this is the first word we're going to be using. Second way is this way. You're a mean one.
Yes.
I was going to pull somebody out, but I won't do that. Yeah, you're a mean one. This is the way that many of you took that. When I put that word up, we automatically think of, being unkind. This word means unkind and hurtful to somebody and so forth. Now, there's a third way. There's some of the, maybe you're a teacher. Maybe Robert, as a teacher, would use it this way. The mean score was 75%. Right, so it means the average. It just means average. It means what the, if you take all the scores you have together, you take all the events, and it just means average. And then finally, we use it this way, a means to an end. Right, so this is kind of an older expression. I'm not sure how many younger people use it, but it certainly is when we say a means to an end, we're talking about that, using something, but not in and of itself, where it's to accomplish something else. There's something bigger, something better, something much more important than is what I'm doing with this particular thing. It's a means to an end. And so of these ways we use this word, though, there's one that I really want, it's really the last one that I believe is really, really important for us to understand today. And the reason is because it's the one that leads us to this word, which is meaning. Having meaning. Our lives need to have meaning, don't they? We don't want to live our lives and not know, what's the meaning of this? Why are we here? What is the purpose? What is the value of me to this world? And so that's actually the fourth thing there, this means to an end, using things, using what we have as a means to an end is what gives us meaning. And I'll elaborate on that here in just a little bit. You see, when we think about why are these important? The first one there, again, is about opinions. What do you mean? What is your opinion about this? Do you know that living our lives, having an opinion about everything, is really not going to lead us to a meaningful life? I'm sorry, do you know people who you feel like they have an opinion about everything. And they give their opinion about everything. And the reason that people look for meaning in their lives by having these opinions about everything. There are some people, they live to find something in the news to either love or hate. There is no meaning of life in that. You're not going to find your meaning there. Having opinions about everything is not, going through life, going through life having opinions about everything might make you mean. It really might. Giving our opinions about everything might make us at least be perceived to be what we think of as the second way there, this being unkind, this meanness, do we not live in a mean world? We live in a mean world. People just do mean things. And they do it because they're trying to find some meaning in life. They say mean things. There are some people that have platforms right now, whether they're a Hollywood star, whether they're an athlete, whether they're a politician, and they want to use this platform they have to reach people, frankly, to just simply be mean. And they feel like that is what brings meaning to their lives. That brings meaning to my life. If I can destroy this person who I disagree with so much, this person that I hate that they got elected, or I hate that they won this, or they, you know, and I don't like what they stand for, and just out of meanness. So, you know, being mean certainly will define somebody's life. This kind of means it can certainly define somebody's life. Like you know, in the Christmas, what's that Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life, Potter, was that his name, Potter? You know, his life was defined by meanness. It can define our lives. But being mean will not bring meaning to our lives. And then even the third one, that's this average thing. You know, just constantly me trying to be like everybody else. It's hard to find meaning in that. If we're not trying to move this world in a positive direction, one way or the other, then where is the meaning of our lives? If I'm just this, you know, drone, this 1984 kind of an image here, you know, this is just, you know, I'm just going to go with the flow. I'll just do whatever society tells me to do. I'll just be, you know, whatever the winds of change, wherever they're blowing, that's where I'm going to go. I'm just going to be a sailboat. You know, I'm just going to be like everybody else. There's not any meaning in life for that. And so I want to talk today particularly about this, about finding, you know, meaning in life. And so I believe the people who find meaning in life, they find it this way. And I'm going to give you a statement here. Here's how we find meaning in life. Meaning for our lives is found when we use our lives and resources as a means to an end. Wait, not just any end. See, everybody thinks, well, I use my resources to an end, my happiness. I'm going to use my money. I'm going to use my property. I'm going to use my talents. I'm going to use these things to make myself feel better. No, that's not going to find gives meaning either. Here's the full definition of what, the way I'm going to word this today. You can take a look. I'm not your boss. I'm not the boss of any of you. I'm an influencer. That's all. All I can do is try to share the truth with you as I perceive it. But you consider for the next 30 minutes or so whether or not what I'm saying is true. Meaning is found when we use our lives and our resources. That means our money, our talents, our gifts, our time. As a means to an end, watch, for something other than ourselves.
Amen.
I'm going to try to prove this to you today. For something other than ourselves. Using the things that I have, the things that have been given to me, my gifts, my money, my skills. Using it as a means to accomplish something for someone other than me is what brings meaning to my life. Because otherwise, I'm just consuming it upon myself. Like John did when he went golfing without anybody else. I mean, you know. What are you hitting him for? He didn't say it. He's laughing. But seriously, that really is where meaning then is found. So this is kind of what I want to talk about today. You see, all of these others, these first three things that we talked about, they all have an agenda. See, when I say my opinion, you know, if I live my life, if I'm looking for meaning with all my opinions, I have an agenda. Aren't you tired of these agendas? All this public stuff is all about an agenda. Everybody's got an agenda, and it's mine. So I'm going to give you my opinion because I want you to do what I will think you ought to do. And I know better what you ought to do. But if we live our lives looking for our meaning, is, well, I'm going to be the advice giver to everybody. Do you know anybody like that?
Yes.
Don't look at me like that. But you can point your fingers up here. But there are people that they feel like, you know, they think their role in life, their meaning in life is to tell everybody everything they're doing wrong. Or there's a better way to do it, you know. And again, there's some appropriateness in some of that. But you know, the same way, you know, for mean, it's, we have an agenda. Somebody who's mean is usually very, very unhappy. They're trying to feel better about themselves. That's why people are mean. They hate themselves. They treat other people the way that they feel about themselves. I said, if you have somebody treating you bad, you should feel sorry for them. You really should. If people are unfair to you, hurtful, mean, spiteful, they're really just treating you the way they feel about themselves. They've never admitted. So we should feel sorry about them. But it's all about an agenda. You know, so, you know, even being average has an agenda. Just trying to go along with the flow. We're trying to avoid conflict. Well, I just don't want any, I don't want any drama. I don't want any hurts. I don't want anything bad to happen to me. Okay, if you don't want anything bad to happen to you, then they're gonna be pretty hard pressed to make that happen. But basically, you just hold yourself up and you just live a life of yourself. You become an idol. Nobody can hurt you like Simon Garfunkel, that best music group of all time. Simon Garfunkel, they say, I'm a rock. I'm an idol. Of course, we know that's not true. So these all have an agenda. But the fourth thing, using our means to an end that's not ourselves, is completely different than all the others, because our agenda is something else. So Jesus came along, and, you know, Jesus came along 2,000 years ago, and he came along and gave us proposed something radical, something brand new. He did it with some questions, you know, because he wanted to get us off of these kind of things to something that has meaning. So he posed some questions like this one. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36, he said, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Now, when he was saying this, what he was talking about, this whole thing about people who live trying to find meaning in things they get, right? He said, what good is it going to do you? Where are you profiting if you get all those things you want? If you live your life constantly seeking yourself as the end, everything is a means to an end of things for you. He said, you're going to gain everything. Sure, what if you gain the entire world? But you lose your own soul. Then he said it this way in another book, in the book of Luke. He said, for what are you advantaged? What is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world and loses himself somewhere along the way? In other words, you don't even know who you are. You don't know what your purpose is. You don't know why you're here. You have no meaning in your life. There's no meaning for your life. And so he was trying to convey this concept that went completely opposite of the way that culture was. In fact, more specifically now, he comes then to this. Matthew chapter number 6. And by the way, I want you to, before we get to that, hold on. You know, Jesus came to a world that was just like ours? He really did. When Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he found the world about the same as it is now. Remember all those three things? We're not going to go back to it. Those three things we talked about. He came to a world that was very opinionated. Everybody was living according to their opinions. A lot of racism. There were people on all sides that felt like it was very much a divided world. You're a Jew or you're a Greek or you're this or you're that. You know, and within society, there were society injustices. There was a caste system many times. There was all these different things. And so he came to a world that was also very, very opinionated. He also came to a world that was very mean. Very mean. You remember his birth brought on the murder of hundreds, probably, of toddlers and babies in Bethlehem. Just simply because he had been born. The world was not that much different than it is now. In fact, you know, and it was also mainly people just trying to get by without getting into any trouble, without just being average, just trying to go along and exist. And the only people who had any aspirations of not being average were people who wanted to gain power so that they could hurt the people that they used to be like. So Jesus came along and he proposed this radical new way of thinking, which was, they propose something to you which won't just get you things, but it will bring meaning to your life. And meaning is found when we use what we have as a means to an end for somebody other than ourselves. I'm not the end. Somebody else is the end. I use my means to better your end. I use my life to make yours better. He said, that is where you will find meaning. At the end of your life, you look back, that's where you'll find all the meaning. Everything else will fade away. Because whatever was done for you is going to go to the grave with you. All the pleasure, all the enjoyment. Now, look, please understand, I'm not saying we shouldn't enjoy things. We should. What I'm trying to say is we can enjoy things more when our focus is using what we have as a means to an end for other people. So let me try to prove this to you in the next few minutes as we get into this. So the world Jesus came to was, you know, very much like ours. Here, he got very specific then. He said, I'll show you how significant this is. I'll show you how much you are so in tune with yourself instead of other people. I'll show you how, just about ready to give them an example of how they are so much concerned about things that add no meaning to life. Watch what he said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 28. He said, "Why do you think so much about what you wear?" Now, King James says, you know, why do you give so much thought to your raiment? That's what it means. He said, "Why do you think so much about what you wear?" Now, right now, all the men are going like, "Yeah, that's a good point." Some of the women in the room are looking at me like, "Move on, dude." Move on, dude. Seriously, is this not our world? Now, stop, think about a minute. This is our world, right there. That's our world. This is probably one of the most, you know, the whole fashion industry, everything. Okay, for example, now I am. This is not bragging. This is just a fact. I am too intelligent to watch the Academy Awards. Oh wow. Okay. Well, that just said something about the crowd here. Amen. Do you know what gets top billing in the Academy Awards? I mean, it's supposed to be about these movies, right? Your movie. It's supposed to be about, you know, what movie got best this and best that. And best. It's not. It's about who worked best, isn't it? I'm so sick. I try to watch. The only news I watch is the first 15 minutes of my day. During that first weekend, I got a cup of coffee. I'm trying to wake up, and my wife and I usually sit, and I will scan the headlines of a news feed. That's all I'll scan. And it's amazing to me how many of those, how many shows there are, how many opinions there are, how all these efforts that are made to try to talk about what somebody wore on the red carpet. Are you kidding me? If that's your life, oh my goodness. What is wrong with you? Find some meaning in your life. I could care less what, and I couldn't even spout names off, I could care less what anybody wore or didn't wear, is what I understand it. So the problem today is not that much different than what Jesus came to. Now, mind you, in Jesus' day, when he posed this question, it was, why are you worried about this robe or this robe? That's your choices, right? I mean, you got these sandals or you got nothing. I mean, that's basically what they had, right? So, but even then, they were so concerned about what they wore. Even then, he said, where is the meaning in that? But you know, there are an awful lot of people trying to find meaning in stuff like that. Right? Big portions of their income are spent on that, on how we look. And Jesus said, you're not going to find meaning there. You're not going to find, it's going to be fleeting. Think about how much, again, and please don't, I'm very grateful. Our ladies around here, you all are beautiful, and I mean that. Inside that. But I think about a lot of ladies who spend so much time and money putting on a face, wash it off at the end of the day.
Amen.
Right? And it's sad that we've done that to our society. We forced our young ladies to feel like that's where their meaning in their life is, and how they look. That's terrible. That's terrible. There's no meaning there. There's no meaning there. Beauty's not on the outside. Comes on the single kid. Austin's going, yeah, I want to beg to differ with you on that. yeah, hold on. I'm going to give you up until that. That starts on the inside. But so Jesus was recognizing this problem that we have in where we're trying to find meaning in our lives. And he said, I want to give you an alternative. I'd like to propose something to you that is so radically different from what you're accustomed to. I propose to you that rather than use your resources to get things for yourself, then how about if you look at it as my resources are here for me as a means to an end to make somebody else's end better. Somebody else's life better. So when we see, you know, we have, you know, what we have, the things that we have, the things we accumulate, it doesn't really add any meaning to our lives. Now, before Jesus then talked about clothing, he actually hit on a much bigger issue. And we find that in verse number 24. So here's what he said in verse 24. He said, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will cling to the one and despise the other. Watch, here it is in a nutshell. He said, you cannot serve God and money. Now, this isn't just about money. Please understand, it's not just about money today. But the point is, you know, money is really kind of the root of everything else, right? It's the root of all these other things we talk about, what we have and using it as a means to an end. So basically what he was saying was, you've got a master. You just don't know him. Let me put this, he gives kind of two major principles here. Let me stick to my notes, otherwise we'll be here all day. Number one, he said, you know, your money, your possessions, your things, they're either your master or they're a means that you are the master of. One or the other. He said, your money, your possessions, the things you've accumulated, your power, your whatever you want to call it, they're either your master. You'll know they're your master because they tell you where you're going to go and what you're going to do. He said, or there are means in your life that you are the master of, and you tell it where it's going to go and what it's going to do. He said, they're either your master, your money is either your master, or it's a means that you're the master of. Number two, your money, your possessions, and things are also God's main competition for your heart. Let's get real for a minute. Right there. Jesus said it right there. He said, if you want to know what my number one competition is for your heart, it's not Satan. It's not drugs. It's not any of those things. It is your money. Ding. He said, it's your money. He said, that's my main competition right there. Now, so we have to ask ourselves, well, is there a test for this, because after all, if money's either my master or God is my master and my money is a means to an end, then how do I know? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you get to choose where your money goes? Or do your obligations and your desires and your appetites choose for you? This is what we have to ask ourselves. I have to ask myself, do I get to choose where my money goes? Or does my appetite choose that? Do my desires choose? Maybe desires or appetites that I've already had, that I've committed myself to. Did I buy this? Did I do that? Did I get myself in debt? Or did I do this? Who is in charge? That's really what this is. What this is about. So who's in charge? You? Or McDonald's? Well, think about it. Who's in charge today? When you leave here, who's in charge? You or Marlboro? Don't think that I don't. I guess you all. You just again. Look at all the finger pointing. You or Budweiser? Look, you say, well, you just, oh, you're talking against cigarettes and alcohol and all this thing. Look, I'm really not. I mean, cigarettes are harmful to your body. I think we all know that. But it's your choice. It didn't cost money, so on. But that's not the point. Because it could be food. It could be music. It could be any kind of an appetite that we have for anything. It could be watching too much TV. It could be, whatever. You figure it out, gambling. And all these things. There are many things in our lives. The question is just simply, who is choosing? We know whether or not our money is our master or we are the masters of it based on who gets to decide where it goes. And the fact of the matter is, we all have to ask ourselves that question. The second thing, which really kind of clarifies it a little bit more, let me ask you this. Can we live on a portion of our income? Here's a telling question. Seriously, I looked at, and some of you said, you know what, this was kind of interesting when you were talking about meaning, you were telling some jokes. Now you're talking about money. Not really liking it as well anymore. Listen, here's how we can know whether or not we are masters of our money or whether or not our money is our master. And that is, can I live on a portion or a fraction, a percentage of my income? Or has every penny that you're going to make this week already been designated? Is it already committed somewhere so that you don't have any more choices? Now, we're talking about money, okay? It, as an example, this same principle could apply to our talents. It could apply to our talents. Are you in control, or do you decide how to use your talents, or do your talents decide how to use, or are you using them only for yourself? You know, the our time. You know, do you use your time? Do I use my time? Is it a means? Yes, it's a means. Do I get to choose how I spend my time? Do you get to choose a portion of your time? Or is every minute of your day pretty much already determined what you have to do because of your appetites and the things that, that we have going on in our lives? Again, we use all these things. So our skills. You know, but the point is this morning, we don't find meaning in our lives unless we come to a point where we use the things we have as a means to an end for somebody other than ourselves. Our friend Charlie's sitting back here. We love Charlie. Amen. We really do. Charlie's a super guy.
Amen.
Charlie's a plumber. Admirable profession. Yes? Very admirable profession. And he's very good at what he does. Now, when he goes to work, he is using his skills and his knowledge as a plumber as a job. That's his job. He gets paid to do that. And so he's that's an ends to a means for him. But when one of our widows has something going on, a leak or an issue, and he goes out and helps them, which he has. Some of our older folks, some of our folks who can't do those things, when he goes out and he takes his personal time and he goes out and uses that same skill for them, that is meaning to his life. See, that's bringing meaning to his life. And I promise you, he leaves there with a heart filled with joy.
Amen.
Far more than he does from work. Amen, Charlie? Now look, now don't you be calling Charlie and saying, Charlie! Buddy! No, don't do that. But my point is, when somebody's in need, he uses that. See, there's a it's the difference between using what he has, his resources, as a means to an end for himself, or as a means to an end for somebody else. Now he has to do it for in a lot of ways, you know, he goes to work so he has income so that he can afford to help other people.
Amen.
Right? We all need to do that. We need to go to work. And earn an income so that we can take care of ourselves, but not just ourselves. If you work every day, but only for you and your family, that's not really meaningful. And this is admirable. By the way, if you don't work every day to take care of your family, or you, if you're relying on somebody else to take care of you, then shame on you. Well, but look, well, my point is, there's a difference between using what we have for ourselves and using it for somebody else. And using it for somebody else brings meaning to our lives. So can I ask you, I'm just posing a question this morning. Is your life meaningful? Is your life meaningful? So yeah, my life's meaningful. I mean, and I go to work and I come home. I TV shows I enjoy. My family eats a meal. Nobody. Is that really at the end of your life? Are you going to look back on that and say, man, my life was so good, I watched thousands of hours of TV. Enjoyed them. That's great. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with watching TV. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm saying if there's not a portion of what we have that is being used as a means to an end for someone other than ourselves, I'm proposing to you today, and I could be wrong, I know you're smarter than I am, but you don't have any meaning in your life. There's no meaning in your life.
Amen.
No one's life would change if you weren't here. But I'm not trying to be hurtful. I'm trying to get us to take a look at ourselves and say, where am I looking for meaning in my life? Because there's not a lot of people looking forward to clothes, looking forward to food, looking forward to appetites, and this and that, and enjoyment, and all these things, and there's nothing wrong with all those things. So I'm just posing that question. You know, it's not your fancy car that brings meaning to your life, or you're not going to find any meaning to your life in how good you are at Call of Duty. Maybe it's the right way. Or even bowling a 300. That's not where Tom finds his meaning, is it, Tom? That's a great accomplishment. I'm so thrilled for you. But watch, if that's all he did, that's all he lived for, there's no meaning in life for that. If all Tom does with his life is go to work at Honda and then go bowling, if he bowls 300 every time, he dies, who's better for it? Whose end was made better by that? You know, the more I think about it, Tom, shame on you. You're selfish. You're so selfish. Get out of here. No, that's not what I mean. I'm just using it as an example. It's a wonderful thing, you know. But Tom also wants to live his life and use his resources, use the money he makes, and use it. He wants to use that platform, maybe. Tom's probably getting a platform now in that bowling league. You know, his respect level, and maybe that's going to open a door. Maybe he can use that to bring some light and some hope into somebody's life.
Amen.
Because what? Somebody can say, man, Tom, why don't you help me? I want to be like, you know, how'd you do it? Tell me, give me some tips and all that. Say, look, I'll be glad to give you some tips. But don't look for your meaning and bowling. Tom can say to somebody, yeah, it was fun. It was enjoyable to bowl 300. But listen, that's not really what life's about. Now, you're not going to find enjoyment there. It'll be very fleeting, but I'll tell you where you will find enjoyment. I'll tell you where you will find something that lasts. Is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he can tell somebody with authority, my Jesus is more important to me than bowling. More important to me than accomplishments here. He can even say to them, listen, my getting you, bringing some hope into your life, bringing Jesus Christ to you would bring me so much more joy than if I could share a 300 game with you.
That's right.
See, that's something he can use. The point is, use what we have. Use those gifts for somebody else's end. You know, if your car is your pride and joy, well, it's time to pick on Tim today. You don't see that red sports car sitting out there? I don't know who that is. That's Tim's. Midlife crisis. So, look, he was coming down the street, and I didn't think he was one of ours. Man, he's not a part of our church. But he pulled in. Look, if your car is your pride and joy, it is fine. If your car is your pride and joy, that's okay. But do you have that? Did you pick that car? Do you have that fancy thing? Do you have all that so people can look at you and be envious? So people can look at you and see, wow, that's a great car. You must be really successful and all that. Or do you use to drive somebody to the doctor who can't get there otherwise? See, there's a difference. A means to an end. Everything we have in this world, God gave to us.
Right.
Now, wait a minute, preacher. I worked for what I have. Who gave you that job? Who gave you those skills? Well, I learned those skills. Who put you in a position to learn those skills? Look, you can take this back as far as you want to.
Amen.
You and I owe everything we have to a gracious, loving God.
Amen.
Gave you a mind. Gave you a body. Gave you the ability to develop skills. And he says, if you use those as a means to an end that's you, you will enjoy it temporarily. But if you will use what I've given to you as a means to an end for someone other than you, it will bring meaning to your life.
Amen.
It will be meaningful. And it will make somebody else's end very, very good. Now, this sounds like a typical churchy giving message so far, right? That's what some are thinking. You know, it's really not. I'm not even asking you for anything. And you haven't heard the rest of the message, so I'm going to kind of cut through some things here. Jesus was just giving us an alternative. He was trying to explain to us, my Father's kingdom is your alternative, and it doesn't operate the same way. You see, when you use your means to an end, and there's some say, well, you know what, I'll do that. You know, I try to give some if I got some money left over. I'll give to the church if I got money left over. I'll give to Hope for the Shadows if I've got some money left over at the end of the month. Do you know that me first is usually me only? Me first is usually me only. Especially when every single penny I have, every resource I have, is already pretty much designated to somebody else. But here's what he was trying, here's the point he was trying to make. My Father's kingdom, he said, is not really the way that it works. Same way here. In fact, here's what he said. Let's get right to it. Verse 33. So he finished up this whole thing by saying this in Matthew verse 33. He said, "The seek first the kingdom of God."
Amen.
Seek it first. Wait a minute. But you mean after my family's taken care of? No. He said, seek the kingdom of God first.
Amen.
Seek using your means as an end for God first. Before the other things. Before yourself. before these, and he's not advocating neglecting your family. That's not what this is about. What he's advocating is don't spread yourself so thin that you have all these people making obligations. You are obligated to so many things, financially and talent and time-wise. Look, don't get your kids involved in so many things that you can't also teach them to put God first. Nothing wrong. Look, I'm all for sports and kids and all this stuff. I'm all for the dance classes and karate and all that kind of stuff. Go do all that stuff. That's great. But don't schedule yourself so full that there's nothing left. Because he says, seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Let me say about some of that righteousness. That doesn't mean, that's not piety. That's not, you know, walking around, you know, with ashes on, you know, our heads and you know, and all the crawling up and down stairs and cutting ourselves and praying all the time and reading our Bible. That's not what that's talking about. If you want to know what righteousness is, just read the Gospels and just read what Jesus did. He went around doing good. He went around taking care of people. He went around helping people, loving people. That's what righteousness is. And all these things will then be given to you. See, Jesus is not asking us to not have anything. He's not asking us to not have money. He's not asking us to not have things, cars, and houses, and you know, and toys and things like that. He's not asking that. What he's saying is, why don't you put my kingdom first? You'll find meaning in your life. And surprise, you're actually going to end up with most of those things that you thought you wanted. And honestly, at the end, the things you thought you wanted that you don't get, you're going to figure out, I want that. You know, we talk about a lot of things. I appreciate all of you so very, very much. I really do. There are many of you. You're very concerned about my wife and me. You were very concerned when we sold our big house. What is the point of having a big house for the two of us when we didn't have time to entertain any of you there? We couldn't use it to be blessed with anybody else. So we got rid of it. We downsized. Now we can do other things. Now your big thing is some of you are coming to me and saying, Pastor, your car? The back of your car has this giant dent in it. And it does. I mean, we don't even know where, I don't even know where it came from. My wife thinks that I was drunk and hit a tree. She doesn't think I was drunk. She thinks I hit a tree. I still think I would know, but anyway, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But I think a limb fell on it. Or a truck back. Something happened. But and some of you are very concerned about that. It's got rust around the wheel wells. And then I buy this truck, and I'm all excited about it. Some of you are going, Pastor, you know, you're a pastor, and you know, you kind of need to be seen driving. And it's like, what are you saying? I said, no, Pastor, I don't mean anything by that. Okay, and I love you. I love you for your concern. And you're like, you know, you brag about this $2,500 truck you just bought. And it's like, because it's a means to an end. I just see it as a place to get me from home to here. And home to your house. And home to Riverside. And here to the... That's all I see it as. I don't care. I don't go to the ministerial meetings anyway. Actually, I had one person say to me, Pastor, I mean, if you go to like a preacher's meetings, we kind of don't want you to show up like that. Because, like, don't worry. None of the pastors in this town like me. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. I have to go to Centerburg to find pastors who like me. He's not even a pastor anymore. So that's the influence I have. A means to an end. To something else. See, I can take somebody, I can go pick up somebody in my car who's walking down the road, give them a ride somewhere, in my truck. Just as easily as if I was strapped to a pavement on something else. Yeah. And I'm not, please understand, I'm not putting you down if you drive a nice car. That's not what I mean at all. All I'm saying is there is this thing of putting the kingdom of God first. And he said, then I want to give you those things. You know what God's really saying to us? He's saying, I wish you would take my work so important because there's things I want to give to you.
Amen.
I want to give them to you. And I feel like God's always giving me something. I really do. I feel like God is constantly giving me things. He's just saying, put me first. Put other people first. Use what you have as a means to an end for somebody else, and you will find meaning in your life And in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking, I get into the Only Jesus series, we're going to be talking about how to really get our focus in the right place. Because frankly, I want my church members to have it all. I do. I want you to have nice things, but I also want you to have meaning. Because you can go to bed at night saying, man, I made a difference in somebody's life.